Welcome everyone to Wise Talk. This is Mariposa's monthly podcast. We provide perspectives on leadership. Today, we're excited to welcome Rich Horwath. Rich has been described by Chief Executive Magazine as the world's foremost expert on strategic thinking. As founder and CEO of the Strategic Thinking Institute, Rich serves executive leadership teams as a strategy facilitator, strategic advisor, and executive coach. He has helped more than 250,000 people around the world to develop their strategic thinking and planning capabilities. That's a lot, Rich. A lot of people.
I've been doing it. Gray hair is coming in.
He was doing it for a while. Rich is a New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and USA Today bestselling author of 8 books on strategic thinking and has been rated the number one keynote speaker on strategy at national conferences, including the Society for Human Resource Management Strategic Conference. He has appeared on ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox TV to provide commentary on the strategic aspects of current events, and his work has appeared in publications including Fast Company, Forbes, HBR, and today we'll discuss his new book, Strategic, The Skill to Set Direction, Create Advantage, and Achieve Executive Excellence. So I really would like to welcome you, Rich. I'm just getting off the pickleball court, and I know that Rich also plays, so we really want to talk about that today, but we're going to try to talk about strategy. We could talk about, there is some, a lot of strategy in pickleball, actually, but we will keep that later. For now, what I want you to do, I'd love to hear your personal journey and why you decided to write this particular book. I read your bio, but now I want to hear the real stuff, the real good stories.
Yeah, thanks, Sue. It's great to be with you and excited to be, I have the opportunity to chat with you all today. So my journey really started from this standpoint about 25 years ago. And again, I'm dating myself a little bit, but at the time I was working as a chief marketing officer, writing a lot of marketing strategy plans for folks. And we were having a typical offsite meeting, doing some strategic planning. And at one of the breaks, we were having coffee and a manager came up and said, "You know, Rich, I just had my performance review with my boss." And she said, "I'm too tactical. I need to be more strategic. How do I do that?" And Sue, as you know, 25 years ago, most of the books on strategy, you know, were people by
planning,
yeah. Prahalad, and it was more corporate strategy. And so that was the light bulb for me that said, you know what, there's not really a lot out there to help the individual leader be strategic day in and day out. And so that was really what started my journey in trying to help people have a roadmap to move from tactical to strategic and change strategy from, you know, a birthday where it happens once a year, there's a lot of signage and fanfare, and it kind of goes away to something that people do on a more regular basis.
Yeah, like every day.
Yeah.
So how do you define it?
So I define strategy as really the intelligent allocation of resources through unique system of activities to achieve a goal. So in simple terms, I really see strategy as how are you planning to achieve your goal? It's not the plan itself. It's how are you using your resources, your time, your people, your talent, your capital to get to the destination that you want to get to. So that's really what I see. You know, there's lots of different definitions out there. I think 91 different definitions. So it is important, I think.
Is that all?
Yeah, exactly.
More
exactly.
Than that.
So it's really important, I think, for people, you know, in your organization, however you define it, to have a similar definition across the teams.
Well, I know, because it's like strategy is the what, is it the how? I think it's both, frankly. I mean, it takes in, you know, what in terms of the goal and then the how to get there. And then what about the strategy? But I think that a lot of people do look at it and put it in the bucket of planning. So I'm wondering how you delineate between strategic planning and strategic thinking.
Yep.
Because I think strategic thinking should be happening all the time, every day.
Absolutely.
So how do you define those?
Yeah, absolutely agree with you, Sue. So I define strategic thinking as the generation of insights on a continuous basis to achieve advantage. Mm-hmm. And then, and again, I define an insight simply as a learning that leads to new value. So to your point, Sue, I think it's a great point. We should be generating insights, new learnings on a daily basis. And then the strategic plan, that's when we channel those insights into strategic direction. So that's
I've not heard it that way. I like that. Channel those insights. I love that a lot. I like the word channel. Good. Love it. Okay. Because I'm going to learn something here too, Rich. No, I love that. So when you're going into these organizations, these 250,000 people that you've been working with, that's amazing. What are you seeing in terms of what's going on with their leaders and them not being strategic? Like what are the challenges that they're facing mostly?
Yeah, the biggest challenge that I see, Sue, is it almost feels like in many places that taking time to think is almost something that you can't do. You don't almost that you need permission because we live in such an action-oriented society where we got to go on that activity treadmill. What did you do today? What did you do last week? Tell me your numbers. What's the metrics we're
Productivity.
looking at? Right. So we don't get off that activity treadmill enough and stop and really think about what are we doing, why are we doing it, and how could we do it differently or better? And really what I've found in the people I've studied is that the best leaders are really carving time in their calendar to stop and think about the business individually and then collectively with their teams.
And how do you fit in reading? So one of my thoughts, one of my frameworks I use is that I actually use the word strategic influencing. I don't separate those terms. And I think that, one has to be able to read and understand markets, and then, translate that and then message it, right? Okay, so in that requires reading. Okay, so it's not just thinking time. So do you, when you say thinking time, are you including reading time too?
Yes, absolutely. And to your point, when we think we need some type of stimulus. So whether we listen to a podcast, whether we read, I'm a big believer that the best leaders, and I know in your book, you talked about a lot about daily reflection. And I think that's such an important piece. We've got to be able to reflect, and reading oftentimes can catalyze our thinking. It can give us different ways to think about similar projects. I mean, as you know, innovation a lot of times is about borrowing ideas, concepts from
Yes.
different domains,
Yes,
different
borrowing.
industries. Exactly. So, to your point, reading is such a great way to do that.
Let's talk about reading for a second because I get this a lot. Like people, execs will ask me like, what do you read and what should I be reading? And besides like, they're obviously their particular function, they need to be reading an ad for CIO, they need to be reading about, IT and things like that, clearly, and the trends for digital transformation, things like that. But there's more to it than that because what our hope is with an exec is that they're going to be able to contribute to the overall strategy of the company. So what are you suggesting that people read these days?
Well,
You have like a couple of things?
I'm a big believer, first off, that you've got to be a good synthesizer today. You know, we've got artificial intelligence now, which is able to create and generate lots of content. To me, what's going to distinguish leaders today is, are you able to synthesize? Are you able to connect the dots across
Discern.
different ideas, different domains? So, I mean, so
Totally.
to your point, what specifically, I mean, things like Popular Mechanics, I think, is interesting, Scientific American. So, again, I just try to dabble in different domains. And then to your point, what I love to do when I read is I'll have one or two questions after I read that will help me start to apply some of those things and think about how does that impact a
I love
client
it.
I'm working with or a challenge that somebody's going through. So if you read an article, let's say on biomimicry from a biomimicry journal, and we're talking about how do you then apply concepts from nature to your business. So if I'm working with a client and they're doing succession planning, I read an article on biomimicry, I might ask myself, well, what principles of biomimicry would help this company do succession planning more effectively? And so we can talk about, is there a way to take a one present state of their business and then transform it into something different? So let's say in science, you've got a solid state and you want to get into a gas or a liquid state. How would we do that in business? How would we transform people's mindset from what is a solid state, the status quo, into a more fluid state? So that's, again, just an example of what I
That's
use, but
great.
use a
No, it's a good
question or two
example.
as you're reading.
Yeah, I mean, I love what you said about borrowing. I mean, we use that a lot, metaphor, from one kind of biology in this case to another. I've taken people to the museum and zoomed in, zoomed out, taking photos and using photography to look at zooming in, zooming out on ideas. So there's all sorts of different ways to do that. But I think that I like that you talked about the sciences. I think The Economist is really good because it does have a lot of different content to draw from. So I just think that we it's you know I have a little bit of arts education, so I guess I'm sort of biased, but I think it's important that we read in different domains and then that and apply it. So this idea of having two insights from the reading and then two applications of those insights, that's kind of the way I like, I'm the same way. I try to like take something from it, right? So good. That sounds great. Okay, so let's talk about your system. So you've got four areas of the strategic fitness system at strategic, leadership, organizational, and communicational. Communicational, that's a new word. Talk about all four, but I'm actually really interested in the communicational. Okay, yeah, so all four of those: strategic, leadership, organizational, and communicational.
Yeah, so what I've tried to do over the years is determine when I'm working with executive teams. I used to focus just on strategy, but as you know, Sue, from all of your work, it's not just about strategy. There's lots of other things that senior leaders need to be good at, especially these days when it comes to the different stakeholders that they have, the communities they serve. So what I try to do is say, how do we holistically look at what an executive does? And so those were the four areas that as I looked at all the tools, the techniques, the checklists, the writings started to fall into those four areas. So I simply use that as a compass to help leaders think about those things. So strategy is really, again, about things that we've talked about: decision making, resource allocation, competition. That's going to be that strategy realm. The leadership realm is really going to be about, have you identified your leadership philosophy, your values, your principles, your legacy? What's your personal performance look like? What's your energy management look like, throughout the day? Are you doing those things, the mindfulness, the gratitude, the nutrition, the sleep, all of those things that contribute to that mental toughness? I know you're a former coach, you're a pickleball player today. You understand the importance of the mental side in sports. And I think in business, we don't borrow enough techniques like visualization, for instance, which most Olympic athletes, a lot of professional athletes use. Those are important things too. So those are just some of the things that I've thought about. And then you mentioned the communication piece. To me, that's really these days about collaboration. It's about being able to, when you collectively get together, be able to effectively and efficiently engage with one another. Too often, what I see, Sue, and maybe you see it too, is that meetings are monologues. They're not interactive dialogues. They're monologues.
Right,
So what I'm
right,
trying to do
right.
is really get people, how are you collaborating more interactively versus, just giving orders?
Right. Well, let's take the strategic one and let's dive deeper into that in terms of some of the ideas, some of the frameworks, some of the metaphors even in terms of how does one bolster, boost their strategic thinking
Well,
as a daily activity?
So the first thing I you what I typically do is I recommend three A's: acumen, allocation, and action.
Action.
That yeah, so those three A's, acumen, allocation, action, I think are a good way to trigger us to
I
think
love it.
strategically. So acumen, what's the insight? What's the new learning in this situation? So whether it's a one-on-one meeting, it's a meeting with a customer, it's a meeting with your board of directors, what's your takeaway? What's your learning from that situation? So that's always first. And then based on that new learning, that new idea, how are you going to configure your resources, your time, your talent, any budget or people that you have in order to realize or enact that new value that you can bring either internally or externally? And then that third A is action. How do you really prioritize what's important so that you're not getting distracted by the urgent things that pop up on text and email? And so we've got those one to three priorities that really are driving what we do day in and day out. So I think that's the biggest thing. And maybe the simplest thing people can do is subtract. There's been some good books written in the last few years about the ability to not necessarily just think about how do we grow, but what could we stop doing or take away from either our individual business or collective business that would bring more value to people. So I would say those are
Right.
those three A's, and the ability to subtract really are some things I've seen people use to be effective strategic thinkers.
And can you give us an example? I mean, you've done this with so many people. Give us an example of something that's come up lately in terms of helping someone make the shift between being more tactical to being more strategic in every day.
Yeah, absolutely. So One of the women that I'm coaching, she runs a $3 billion organization, and so she moved from being a divisional manager to the CEO role, so she has a lot more people responsibilities. And so one of the things that she was doing was, as we observed and as she journaled, she was spending a lot of time with direct reports in her previous division. So from a tactical standpoint, she was even, weighing in on things like, who should be the speaker at the conference, what day should the conference start on? So things that she would do in the past. And so what we talked about was just the concept of lead at your level. And again, I think too often when we transition from one leadership role to the next, because we're experts in that area, we want to dive back in quickly, but we're not allowing people behind us or with us to develop their skills. So that would just be one example of, especially as a senior leader, leading at your level, focusing on the topics that are going to bring the most value. I think one question I hear a lot of leaders use is, am I the only person that can make this decision or do this task? If the answer is yes, then that's great. You should be doing that. If the answer is no, then that should be something you're probably delegating.
And 90% of the time, it's probably no. It should be no.
Right, exactly.
Yeah,
Exactly.
yeah, yeah. Okay, so acumen, allocation, action. I like that a lot. So, what is stopping people in your mind from? Why is this so difficult? I think everyone. No one I've ever coached has said, "Oh yeah, it should be less strategic." No one.
Right.
So, no one. I don't care what level they are. So they know the need to do this. So we could say that time is in their, in their way. Okay. So then how do we as coaches, or how do we as managers help our managers, our directs, be more strategic? A lot, I get that a lot. Like how do I work with someone who might be strategic, but they want to have their directs be more strategic. Or in the case of, got one client right now where she wants the her directs, this is in a she's the VP of PRAR, and she wants them to be more strategic partners with the business rather than order takers. Okay, so thinking more like consulting, consultants think, so more of that synthesizing. So what do you think stopping people, and what if, yeah.
So the first thing I said, you mentioned time a moment ago. I think the biggest thing is people are really not aware of or conscious of where they're spending their time. So first thing I'd recommend is everybody next Monday, on a piece of paper, you can use a journal, jot down every 30 minutes where you're spending your time for one full week. At the end of the week, put the categories together,
Oh my
total up
gosh.
your time, and then I want you to graph it out visually. So on the x-axis on the bottom, put, email, one-on-one meetings, customer meetings, board of directors preparation. And then on the y-axis, put the hours, one, two, three, up to 20, whatever it might be. Then graph it out. And then once you graph that out, think about what are your top three goals for this quarter, for this year, and then match up your goals, overlay that with your where you're spending your time. To me, that's the biggest thing, is there's a huge disconnect from where people have their goals and priorities and where they're actually spending their time. So when I do coaching, that's one of the first exercises we do, and typically 50% of the people we work with are shocked that they're spending their time on things that really are not moving the needle for the organization. So I think that's the biggest thing. And then
That's a
as a
great
build,
idea.
yeah, and as a build to that, Sue, the other thing I'd recommend is the idea of monotasking. We all multitask, people multitask all the time, but all the research out of Stanford from Professor Clifford Nass and others talks about the fact that we make double the errors, we're 30% less effective when we multitask. So I really tell leaders, have your direct reports monotask. They need to spend at least 90 minutes every day on a topic that's not email, that's not reactive. It needs to be a proactive topic, something that's on their agenda. And I recommend that first thing in the morning, because once we start opening email and checking text, we're going
Right.
in different directions.
Forget it. And Slack.
What have you seen, Sue, from your perspective? I mean, what techniques or tips have you given folks or seen as best practices when it comes to, being more disciplined with where people are being strategic or not?
They got to calendar it. They got to put it in their calendar. And also my time with them, it tends to be like that too. So I try to make it that more strategic, although most of the time we talk about their talent and the lack, the problems there, and we're having issue with so and so, and that's, yeah. So that kind of gets in the way sometimes. But those people, you know, amazing. So yeah, I think they need to definitely calendar it, and I think that they need to, you know, spend time on, you know, I don't care what you call it, strategy time, reflection time, reading time. I mean, it's all the same thing. It's doing, it's sitting back and reflecting and not being in action meeting mode. And I think that Zoom just made it worse.
Yes.
I mean, what much worse. So,
Agreed.
but it also makes it easier to get away and do it too.
True.
So, you know, I think what Zoom did is it, and I think this is going to be a problem forever. So it's not going away because most of our clients are remote first. So, I think that what it means is that people could be so much more efficient at making meetings. So we're in meetings so much more than we already were in too many meetings. So
Right.
now we're even more meetings, and you just have to like block it off and go for a walk,
Yep.
and you know, listen to a podcast. Well, I don't care. Listen to your podcast while you're walking, or get on my case. I'll get on the bike first and listen to something or read or whatever. I mean, it's just it's we got it. I don't think this is a silver bullet. I think that people, I am pretty adamant about this. I think people have to read, and I think they have to take the time to do it. I don't know how people can just make shit up about, you know, what's going on in the world, like what they think their company should be doing if they're not reading.
Right. Yeah,
Right?
absolutely. You got to have a good awareness of your situation. I always equate it with, you wouldn't go to your doctor's office. Let's say you had a bad knee, right? Your knee was bothering you, and you walk
I
in the
have one of
exam
those.
room, in the exam room, and the doctor comes in. She doesn't ask any questions. She doesn't take any tests. She just writes a script and hands it to you and leaves. We'd never take that because we know in medicine the adage is prescription without diagnosis equals
Right.
malpractice. But to your point, Sue, in
Right.
business, we're not taking the time to diagnose and to read and understand what's happening in our situation before we prescribe a new initiative, a new strategy, a new project.
Well, in taking your analogy even further, if you know you have a bad knee or something's up with you, most people would actually read about their situation before they go to the doctor because that helps them ask better questions, right? Well, it's the
Great
same
point.
process, right? It's the same process of in terms of like before you start whatever, you need to be reading about it. And I mean, I think again, no one's going to disagree with me that we'd like to read more. Everyone wants to read more. Oh my God, they don't have enough time. It's like, but that's the trick. It's like, how are we going to make the time? How are you going to like set aside moments to do it? And I think the hardest thing for an executive. I really do.
Exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
Can I just
Yeah.
chime in? I just wanted to add a quick
Yeah,
couple
Kelly,
things.
please go for it.
The first thing was in very, very interesting. Years ago, I had a senior, my senior leader used to have us write all of our tasks and how we spent our time on either strategic, operational, or administrative. Those were our buckets. And then we
Nice.
were to bring them in and have a discussion with her, and then to determine. Really, it was to show us that
Right.
we spent way too much time not doing the strategic things. But it's really hard as an HR executive to be able to have those conversations and to explain. So this is really helpful to hear when people say, well, my boss just says I need to be more strategic. I just need to think more strategically. What does that mean? And I thought, oh, okay. So, you know, if I give a dollar for every time I've heard that. One other thing too that I've recently heard is that I want to say it was Albert Einstein, but I do not recall exactly, is that you cannot make a decision or come up with a decision or a an idea at the same level of consciousness that you had it. And so like that's why they always say you come up with good ideas right before you go to bed or in the shower or whatnot. So I always try to, you know, coach my executives to like again go on the bike, go for a walk, go to the beach, go do something different
Change the
to
environment.
unlock that block, and then that comes and it really comes out. But this has been really helpful because if anything, just validates the wrong way through kind of similar things, and just setting that time away for thinking is very similar to recruiting. Like I don't have time to recruit, but I need somebody. And it's like, well, if you don't spend the time to recruit, then you're never going to get out of the tailspin that you're in. And so
That's
it's
right.
just really getting it on the calendar. And back in my early days when I did ergonomics, when I had software engineers, they had to put on their schedule when they would do their stretching because otherwise they would never get out of the chair. So I think that was a really good point, Sue, about putting on your calendar. But it's just a matter of you got to get it and you got to put it in a behavioral pattern and as a habit. So thanks for letting me chime in.
Yeah. I mean, I always say that about everything, like everything needs to become a habit. But I think particular strategic thinking needs to be, it's not just only on the calendar, because it's like, because I think that you're right. Like there's going to be those in between times trying, you know, figuring that's when you'll be doing some thinking as well. But I actually I'm really big on of people understanding the market, and not just your market, but the world, just understand the world. And yeah. I think that if there's any ever a time that we need to understand the geopolitical issues of our world, it's right now. Yeah. And so I mean, my gosh, unbelievable what's been going on. So, and this affects business. You can't help but affect business. Now, you don't have to be an expert on it, but we need to understand what's going on. So, great question or comment, Kelly. I appreciate it very much, very much. Okay, so you talk about these four areas. So we spent some time on strategic. Can you spend more time on the communicational fitness and effective collaboration? And especially with hybrid, it's rough out there to do this. I mean, we spent a lot of time on this with people. Yeah, it's like, okay, let's do hybrid. Okay, let's have come in the office 1 to 2 days a week and then be on Zoom when you're in the office. No. Yeah. So what's your thinking about being strategic about hybrid?
Well, the first thing that comes to mind is we need to have a common understanding of one another's goals. What are we trying to achieve? Too many times when I do audits with executives on the meetings that their teams are attending and leading, too many times the meetings are not attached to specific goals and priorities. They're legacy meetings, they're legacy interactions,
yes.
Or the meetings themselves really move into the tactical realm much too quickly.
Right.
And so one of the things that I've seen effective is, and Kelly talked about it in her comments, which I thought were great. She talked about the strategic, operational, administrative.
I love that.
I do think to build on Kelly's point, your agendas should almost be color-coded to say, mm-hmm. these are going to be the strategic topics, administrative, operational. Because what I bet is most people out there, their strategic topics for meetings, they may have one or two on there, but they're probably spending 5 to 10% of the time, that meeting time, energized by the adrenaline of the fire drills and what's not working. To your point,
right.
I need to get rid of this person. They're not doing as well as they need to, or we've got a communication issue here. So we get into the firefighting mode in these meetings.
Right.
Not spending enough time talking about the things that are really going to drive value.
I know. It's, I mean, and what happens invariably is that, and we do it in my own company. It's like we have the strategic thing there and then it gets thrown off because we have to do all the other right. stuff. The other stuff gets in the way because we have to worry about the holiday party.
Right.
Or the color right. on the website.
Yep.
I know Allison's laughing right now. Yeah. So, I think that you do have to devote time and be disciplined about it, for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. But I love what Kelly said about those three areas and figuring out, you know, where are we spending our time? I mean, when you have your executives that you work with, or, you know, you're in your workshops and also in your coaching, I mean, what are they spending their time on? Is it mostly admin stuff?
Well, a lot of it is what we bucket is firefighting. So it's things that they didn't plan on doing that week, but popped
right.
up. And again, sometimes it's a customer issue. It needs to be handled. But the reality right. is most of the time it does not. It does not,
yeah.
it does not
right.
need their attention. So,
right.
So the first thing I recommend is when they have those meetings, when a topic comes up that's really not something that's goal or priority oriented, let's just say stop for a moment. Let's put that on the side. And then let's come back to that at the end. And typically when we get back to that at the end, it's not something that people feel strongly about, or we don't really need to spend as much time on that, because again, it's we love the urgent. The urgent seems to dominate the things that we do. So I'm a big believer that you've got to audit what you're doing. And I like scoring. You know, it's super easy. You're a D1 volleyball coach. You know the importance of scoring. So I like to say score every interaction you have for a week, whether it's a one-on-one interaction, it's a meeting. Zero is no value. 3 is high value. And then categorize that at the end of the week. What were your scores? And again, sometimes it's on us. Sometimes we're leading meetings that maybe aren't as valuable. So we've got to sometimes look in the mirror and say, was that a three? Was that a high value for people in that meeting or in that interaction? Yeah. What value did I bring? To your point, see, the biggest problem I see is people are not preparing for meetings because they're so easy.
Yeah.
They're so quick to do it on Zoom. People aren't preparing for those. I tell
people. Yeah, well, because they're going one from the next.
Yes, exactly. So what I tell folks is it should be a one-to-one. If you've got an hour meeting, you should be doing an hour of preparation and people fall out of their chairs.
No way.
Are you crazy? But if you start to try to implement that, number one, you have much higher quality meetings. And number two, you've got to eliminate meetings because there's too many meetings on the books already. And a lot of them shouldn't be there.
My hope is with AI I was just reading an article about this the other day, that the number one way we can actually, well, not one of the number one reasons we can use it, way we can use it is just to like at least delineate what's important in the meetings, and you know they can be recorded, and then the bot can record it and delineate stuff that's most important and relevant, and then people can get it and go. I mean, at least we can do that. Mm-hmm. Because it's ridiculous how many meetings we have. I mean, when I have like 5 or 6 meetings a day, I'm like, first of all, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and the only reason why I like to do it is because, or maybe it's probably more like 7 or 8. It's like, that's what my clients are doing. So at least I understand how they feel. Mm-hmm. But it's exhausting. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. So I mean, I don't want to turn this into like meeting management, but it does, that is a part of it in terms of, if you're having meetings, just churning things out and trying to make decisions and then not make decisions, then it's a waste of time. So there's no value. So I do like the idea of this scoring idea. It doesn't have to be a score per se, but just figuring out, was that valuable? Like, and what value am I adding to the situation? Yep. And can someone on my team add just as much value by them being there instead of me?
And I really believe in what I've found in my work with senior leadership teams is that the proliferation of meetings oftentimes is because there's not clear decision rights in the organization.
Yes.
On who's making what decision. So now we got to get everybody together. We'll talk about it. A lot of times they're trying to use consensus when at the end of the day, yes, you want everyone's input, but everybody should not be weighing in on the decision itself. You don't have to have consensus for every decision. You know, Amazon, Stripe, some of these other companies, have really bought into the idea of, disagree and commit. Here's my input, but at the end of the meeting, we're going to move forward with a direction. So I might disagree, but I'm going to commit to that direction. I don't see enough people doing that.
Well, right. And they don't like the answer. They'll just have another meeting about it.
Right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. And Estelle just popped in and said, yes, I agree. So she's obviously seen that in her company. I mean, I just think that the continuation of just lack of decision-making is, we have a very short and sweet communication, what we call a communication checklist. And like, there's four different things that are going on in meetings. And so you're not just delineating the content, but you're delineating and putting a value to, or not a value, but a module, basically a process to each thing. It's like, is this brainstorming? Is this feedback? Is this decision making? Is this requests? That's it. Well, I guess you could have updates too.
Yeah,
you shouldn't do too many of those things in meetings, right. But that's it. So it's like, what is this? Are we trying to? Okay, we're going to brainstorm, then commit, brainstorm, and make a decision. Great. So like, you just say that real quick before you start making like that 15. You time box it. Okay, 15 minutes. We're going to discuss and then make a decision at the end. And maybe it goes 20 or 25 even, but you know what you're doing. You're not just sitting around talking about it. There's just too much sitting around talking about stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what I've seen is 20% of meetings are really about decision-making and 80% are about talking about things, giving updates. And it really should be flipped. It should be 80%
totally our decisions, flipped.
20% right. are that discussion.
And then updates should be an email and Slack exactly. and whatever.
Yeah,
totally. And in fact, we made this communication checklist because when we were working with Cisco, and this was 25 years ago, 25 years ago when we started, and I was noticing the same exact thing. And I thought I might have even said 20 and 80, I said, people are making decisions and updating a meeting. And they're updating the meetings and making decisions on email. This needs to be flipped.
Yeah, right. So, exactly.
Yeah. So, well, this is really interesting. So what else as far as, we didn't talk about the leadership and organizational focus areas. Is there anything you would like to add in those areas that would be helpful to the group right now and anyone who's listening?
Yeah, the main thing I would say from a leadership standpoint is really give thought and reflection to what your legacy would be when you finish. I think too often we're in the day-to-day, we're in, you know, what's my next job look like? What does this job look like? But really, you know, and again, you know, you talk a lot about it in Leadership Chronicles. I think you've got to step back and reflect on, you know, when I'm done, what do I want people to say about me? What do I want? What type of value will I have contributed? And I think if we start with that end piece, then as leaders, we can start to say, okay, what are the leadership principles, the guidelines that my team and mm-hmm. I are going to work through day in and day mm-hmm. out to help us mm-hmm. get to that legacy? So I think that's the biggest thing is we're just not thinking forward enough about where we want to be and who we can bring value to. We're too caught up in the minutiae day to day.
Right. Okay. So that's a leadership. Anything on the organizational you want to mention?
You know, the main thing, and I know you've worked with hundreds of startups, and when you work with your startups, a lot of the work is around the business model. You know, I mean, simply put, how do we create value? How do we deliver it? And then how are we going to capture it in the form of, you know, profit, subscription, sales, whatever. I don't see enough of the mature companies spending time on the business model each year. The startups are spending a lot of time, but once you get to be a mature company, people are not taking a close enough look at how can we create value, how can we deliver it, and how we capture it. And that should be done, I think, at the organizational level and each functional area as well. So that would just be another take home is really think about how are we creating, delivering, and capturing value.
Nice. I like it. Okay, so before I get into some more like of your information, I want to put you on the spot here. It's like, what's the one thing that people should take away if they want to be more strategic? Mm-hmm. What's the one thing they need to do for sure?
Well, I'm going to build on what you said earlier around the reading piece. And to build on that, new growth comes from new thinking. So if you don't have anything stimulating your thinking and you're not thinking in different ways, meeting different people, reading different things, it's Einstein's definition of insanity. We're doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So I'm a big believer that new growth comes from new thinking. And I love your idea of reading to stimulate that.
Right. Got to stay curious.
Yep, absolutely.
Hashtag stay curious. Okay.
Sherlock Holmes. Be a detective.
That's right. Be an anthropologist. I love it. Well, I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much, Rich. And I want to make sure people have all your information. Your website is strategyskills.com. And that has all your information, your book and stuff.
Yep.
All your books, actually. And then you can find, of course, Rich on LinkedIn, linkedin.com.in.richhorwath. And that's HORWATH/. The book, again, is Strategic, The Skill to Set Direction, Create Advantage, and Achieve Executive Excellence. I have really appreciated your discussion today. And I've also appreciated the input from our participants as well. So thank you for that. So Rich, again, thanks so much. Hopefully we'll see you on the pickleball court.
Thank you, Sue. It was great to be with you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Bye. Aloha.
Bye-bye.